Hey, it's John again. Would you willingly leave a job that was paying you six figures with no backup plan in place? That is what my guest did, and he has not regretted it since. Find out why and what he is doing now on the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast today. This week's podcast is brought to you by Spartan Invest. Spartan currently manages hundreds of turnkey properties across Alabama and Tennessee, and is where I personally bought my first out-of-state turnkey property. In fact, I have two properties with them now, and both tenants just renewed for another 2 years. That should tell you the quality of their team and their due diligence. If you are a first-time investor or are looking to expand your real estate portfolio, check out SpartanInvest.com.
Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here's your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is John Rickgarn, your host, as always, of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. And today I really wanted to bring on a guest that, just personally, I really connected with this guy. Maybe it was because he also walked away from a high-paying job like I did. Maybe it was because he is also an infinite banking steward like I am. Or maybe he's also because he hosts a podcast as well. A lot of us podcasters talk back and forth and share ideas back and forth. But the more and more I thought about it, I think maybe the biggest reason I connected with this guest is that he is also a big fan of the blockbuster movie Dumb and Dumber. So with that alone, I had to bring on Joey Murray of Wealth Without Wall Street. Joey, welcome to the show.
Oh, John, that is a fantastic intro. And man, there you go. Just totally redeeming yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I can't do a Lloyd impression very well. So it's just like, I'll just throw a Dumb and Dumber. But yeah, much to my wife's chagrin, I've watched that movie probably 200, 300 times. I don't know.
One of the most quotable movies of all time. For
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic. I love Dumb and Dumber. She hates it. But then, Super Troopers is one of her favorite movies, and Napoleon Dynamite, and I can't stand those two. So, go each their own.
I'll watch Napoleon Dynamite with her. It's one of my favorites too.
Okay. So, well, you're forgiven. No, that's kidding. So maybe Joey, kind of the first things I wanted to talk about, and I've shared on my story coming up on 3 years ago, I ended up leaving, high paying sales job, and a number of people thought I was nuts. And I know listening to your story, on the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, as well as some other speaking engagements, like at the Spartan Summit 2 weeks ago, as of this recording, you also walked away from a, on paper, a very lucrative, very high paying job. And I'm sure a lot of other people thought you were crazy. And why are you doing this? So can you maybe just take a step back or a step back in time of, what you were doing, where you were at, and why you decided to leave a job that, so many people would love to have that pays six figures.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, to be honest, John, I think it was just a mindset shift for me, because I think we all, and maybe I was just the weird one, but I had associated financial success with a higher income. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like my goal was like, when I realized I was going to be in the business world full time, I thought, okay, it's my goal to just increase income. That's what success looks like. Mm-hmm. And I started going up the corporate ladder at Wells Fargo Bank at the time. And I just started seeing lots of success in terms of my income. I had peaked over $300,000 a year.
Wow.
And I thought, and this was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, phew, this is faster than I ever would have thought, higher than I ever would have thought. And I looked around, and I don't know if you ever had this moment, but I'd look at the end of the year and I would look back and I'd say, where did all the money go?
Yep.
right? I mean, I made a lot more on paper, but I have no idea where it all went. Mm-hmm. And the bigger part was I didn't feel successful because my time was getting just siphoned away from mm-hmm. me. I remember, I don't know how far you want me to go into the soul sucking jobs that we all have done, but I remember being in, I was a branch manager at the time and having the company come to me and say, hey, by the way, we're going to have internal audits every so often. And we're not going to tell you when, we're just going to tell you like the day or two before. Okay. And you have to be able to follow all of these details with your whole team. And if you fail the audit, you don't get your $10,000 bonus. And this is me responding to that. Like, and by the way, we interview each one of your loan officers to make sure they know all this stuff. If they don't and they mess this up, then your bonus is dependent upon it. Well, as you can imagine, I'm like freaking out because I know the stuff. But how well did they know it? And how much time am I going to have to spend with them to train them to be able to do an internal audit and to be able to answer these questions? Mm-hmm. And what it played out like, John, was I was working, 50, 60 hours a week. And then they would say, oh, hey, by the way, it's Friday. We're going to be in your office on Monday. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, my weekend was shot. Yep. I was going to be spending all weekend in the office, prepping the whole space, making sure everything was cleaned perfectly, making sure all of the shred bins were properly, dumped, making sure that, it was absurd, the pressure that created.
Wow.
And how it played out was stuff like that took me further and further away from the people that I was working so hard for in the beginning, my family. And it played out into other things like, I was at the beach and I would say, hey, you guys go down to the beach. I just got to take mm-hmm. one more phone call.
Yep.
Just right. You were in commission, right?
Yep.
Commission sales.
Exactly.
So you have this blessing and a curse that you have the ability to earn more than most because of your commission based mm-hmm. income. But you also have the pressure that if I don't take this next phone call, I'm stepping off of the treadmill yep. that is creating income. Mm-hmm. And it was a shocking thing to me that I was getting taken further and further away from my family. And to be honest, I didn't even see it as well as I see it now because mm-hmm. I was in the middle of it. And I think as guys, we can be blinded to certain things. And one of those is blinded by success. And so anyways, the long story of it is, I got introduced to this concept of infinite banking, which sounds like you talk about quite a bit on the show. And I started implementing it with my buddy, who is now my business partner, Russ Morgan. And over 4 years' time, I started saving over $60,000 a year into wow. policies. And just putting money into my control instead of into my 401k that I couldn't touch and into IRAs and into 529 plans and all these things that were good things, but they weren't getting me anywhere. Mm-hmm. They weren't helping me to get to be financially free. Once I started putting that money into policies, it started to obviously grow dramatically. And I started to see opportunities that I never saw before.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Focus Wealth Group. Do you know you need to get life insurance, but don't know where to start or how much to get? Have you heard of infinite banking, but not sure how it works? Reach out to Barry Brooksby and his team. Barry is not only a mentor, but a friend who has helped me for the past 6 years in my pursuit of cash flow and financial independence. Their mission is simple. They teach people how to make money and hold on to more money. Learn more and set up your free initial consultation at focuswealthgroup.com.
And man, so once you do that, it was one of those things, John. I was sitting at a conference with Russ and I started hearing all these people sharing like how their lives have been changed by this, how their clients' lives are being changed. And I I think if my middle name could be anything else, it would be Impact. Mm-hmm. And the name, the word impact to me is so powerful. It's like, I want to have better, a bigger impact on this world. And so I was like, I'm helping people with their mortgage. That's great. Mm-hmm. But how could I impact them more, like comprehensively? And it was like, if they knew what I know now, they would be thrilled. And I need to be out there telling them about this. And so I went home to my wife, who's pregnant with our fourth daughter. By the way, I have five daughters now, but at the time she was just pregnant with my fourth daughter. And I told my wife, I said, "Hey, I feel like God's telling me that I need to do this full time." Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a minute there, I got scared for my life. Like, she's going to slap me and say, "You're a moron. Like, why would you ever think something so dumb?"
Yeah.
But the thing that I knew why this was going to happen is she said immediately, without hesitation, she's like, "You absolutely should do that."
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I mean, she understands the depth of this, going from $300,000 to $0.
Yep.
And trying to build a business on this was a total gamble. Mm-hmm. And most people would have never even considered it, but I just felt like this was going to be the way to impact people at such a different level. And she mm-hmm. was backing me up, and that's all I really needed to know to take that next step.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Wow, that's definitely quite the story. And, you know, great that you have such a supportive spouse. My wife as well, we've been married, 14 years come this summer. And, you know, we've both been in similar situations. She left a toxic work environment and she said, "Yep, I want to go back for my PhD and I want to, you know, teach." And I was there for it. It's like, all right, we're going down to one income, but I fully support you and, you know, pursuing your dream. And then fast forward a couple of years, you know, I was pulling my hair out or going gray with my hair. And she was like, "Nope, we got to get you out of there. We got to get you doing something that you're, you know, more passionate about, like you said, have a better, bigger impact with others." So with some of the things you said, Joey, with I'm just kind of unpacking a few things, but I was very much in that same boat. I always kind of, you know, equaled success meant you have more income or you have a higher salary or you're making more, you know, in my case, it was selling more copiers or more expensive copiers. In your case, you know, more loan originations, et cetera. And for me, you know, you mentioned like, where does all that money go? And I still remember one time, you know, we've probably all been in corporate America. We have those snooze-a-thon webinars of like, you know, this is an hour and a half. This could have been done by a 15-second email, but whatever. And it's like, all right, droning on and on. And one of the higher ups just said, "Yeah, you know, you guys are doing great. You got a good support system. We want you all to make $200,000 a year." And, you know, I think anyone would say like, "Yeah, I'd love to make $200,000 a year." And then just on a whim, I pulled out my phone. Thankfully, our cameras were off. It was more just kind of an audio WebEx at the time. And I just punched into a salary calculator. And being here in Minnesota, I punched in $200,000. Okay, that sounds really good. But what struck me was the net income that came after federal taxes, state taxes, and our good old friend FICA. Then I was down to $128,000, which, okay, that's not bad. But, you know, you just kind of look at that. It's like, before I spend a single dollar on, you know, my mortgage payment, my health insurance, my food, whatever, it's, you know, over $70,000 is going right to Uncle Sam's pocket in one way, shape, or another. I don't know if you experienced that or if you ever had that eye opening of, you know, your job of opening up your paycheck of like, you know, gosh, I know I made this much, but where did it all go? And, you know, who's this FICA guy?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And mine played out like this. And I don't know if you saw the same thing, but the way we were paid was every 2 weeks or twice a month. I think it was every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it was always the last pay period of each month that they paid us the commission. The first pay period was like a draw amount. Yep. And so it was a very small number. But once the commissions were paid, it acted as if that's what you got paid every pay period.
Oh, sure.
And so it always taxed you at the highest possible level. And you know what ended up working out really cool, John, is once I learned this whole process of infinite banking, I started looking for ways to fund additional policies. Like I wanted to get as much money into this as fast as I could, because I knew time was not on my side. Like the longer I have for this money to grow and to work, and to be able to use for things that I could control, I was like, I got to find new ways to do it. Well, I was sitting with Russ and I was explaining to him the way my taxes worked. And he was like, wait, why are you doing that? I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, why are you allowing them to take so much out of each paycheck for taxes? He said, do you get a big, substantial tax return? I was like, yeah. I like, $25,000 some years, you know. He's like, oh, you're giving the government an interest-free loan. How does that make you feel? I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So we changed my withholding and I used that to start funding an additional policy. So I went from one policy to two policies to three policies in the first year of understanding this, because I was like, yeah, I don't want to let money trickle out of my economy into the government's hands interest-free if I can do something about it. And so it was amazing. It started a second policy. It was like $20,000 from just tweaking what was happening in my personal economy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I think everyone just needs to sit down and kind of, you know, run the numbers, what makes sense, you know, where's your money coming from and where's it going to? Is it taxes? Is it, you know, non-efficient accounts, whether it's, you know, your workplace 401k or your, you know, IRA with a mutual fund and a huge expense ratio or whatever the case may be. Kind of taking a step forward, Joey. So in my journey, my first, shall we say, passive investment was a fourplex here in my hometown of Marshall, Minnesota. Since then, you know, I've grown to multiple properties across multiple states, some syndication, ag land parcels, got a whole list of investment opportunities on my website that I've personally worked with, dabbled with, and so as you've, you know, kind of grown with your policies and your personal economy and had more money coming in, and I know you spoke on this a little bit at the summit a couple of weeks ago, what all is in your economy for, you know, passive income streams versus where you were before, where, okay, I have this one income stream at my job. And if I leave that entire stream goes away.
Yeah. And that's the point. I definitely want to get to the ones that we have, but the why behind it, I think, is so dramatically important that I can't pass this up. Once I had actually made that whole mindset shift, I realized that the problem wasn't the fact of having a high income. It was having the pressure of that income being solely dependent upon my ability to create it. Yeah. My activity required it. And as you're listening to this, you may be in the same boat. Like you may be that person that's driving to work thinking, what would happen if I couldn't go to work this week, this month, this quarter? And it came to me, it was in the conversation with my daughter, one of my daughters, the fourth one that I spoke of earlier. She was a little bit older and I was talking to her on the way to school and she said, hey dad, are you going to pick me up from school today? And I was like, no, babe, your mom's going to pick you up. She said, why aren't you going to pick me up? I said, well, because I have to go to work. She's like, why you have to go to work? Well, because I have to pay for this car. I have to pay for, you know, your school, our house. She said, well, we already have a house. We already have a car. And as simple as that conversation is, and you've probably done it with your kids a million times and you just didn't think anything of it. But for some reason that day, the key word was, I said to my daughter, I have to go to work. And the key, the gaping hole for me was, I have no passive income.
Mm-hmm.
Without passive income, I answer that question the same way every time. I have to.
Yeah.
And I, at that moment, I called up Russ at the time. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And I said, Russ, we got to get serious about building this passive income.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will not be in that position again. And that sent us really deep into interviewing specialists with passive income, like whoever they were specialists in, like land flipping or short-term rentals or whatever it may be. And then saying, okay, which of these do we really want to implement ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so about 2 years ago, we got really, really serious about building those ourselves. And so every month now, and John, you probably know this from listening to our show, we do a passive income report.
Yep.
And we share all of it, the good, the bad, yep. the ugly. I mean, the mess ups that we have and all everything included. But we have consistently, the year of 2021, we logged over $1.2 million in passive income.
Wow.
And netted $655,000. So some months were better than others, mm-hmm. but it all evened out to that number. And it stretches from, we have a land business where we buy okay. raw land at about 25 cents on the dollar and turn around and market it on the retail space, whether it's to the neighbors of that land or to people on just the retail market through Facebook marketplace or mm-hmm. Craigslist or whatever. And we sell it to them on terms. So we take an asset and we turn it into a note. Okay. And that compounds every single month. Last month, our land business netted us about $13,000, I think.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember exactly if it was, the gross on it is over 20 now. And we get 70% of that. So I guess that was closer to 14,000. We have a short-term rental business where we go and we do rental arbitrage, mm-hmm. right? We rent a unit from an apartment complex and we tell them we're going to put this on a short-term rental basis where we rent it out to people nightly. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole system and we put them at ease. Obviously they have to trust us.
Sure.
but that business, we have 27 units now in just over 18 months of operation.
Wow.
And we have a full-time operator that we hired to run the whole thing. So that's why it's passive to us.
Sure. Yep.
Just to be clear.
You're not running around on all 27 units there.
Exactly. And last year alone, that business brought in over like $800,000 gross.
Wow.
And so it's been super, super successful. In fact, we even built a course to teach people how to do it because it was such a big deal for us to be able to do that. We wanted to share that with others. And so I can go into as much detail as you want. I don't want to bore you guys, but we have those businesses. We have Ethereum miners, like cryptocurrency miners. We have ATM machines that we bought in a syndication, multifamily syndication, long-term rentals. I rent an RV out to people. And we have a private note fund, an e-commerce business, actually two e-commerce businesses, and our own information business. As I mentioned, we have courses that we sell and that creates some passive income as well.
Cool. Yeah, I think every single one of those, from renting an RV to Ethereum mining, we could probably do an entire podcast in each one of those as well. And yeah, some of them I've done is, you know, I've invested in notes. I have short-term and long-term rentals. I understand the concept of land flipping. I haven't really dived into it at least at this point. Definitely can see more of the short-term rental, you know, opportunities out there. Got a condo in Tucson that last year did really well once the COVID restrictions were starting to lift. And I think this year we'll have a record year and hopefully continue on moving upward there too. So you had mentioned, Joey, you know, I think all of us, you know, myself included, you know, having these multiple diverse passive income streams, I think is definitely the, you know, way to go. I mean, I know you mentioned like the short-term business. I read about one lady that was all her passive income stream was short-term rentals. Well, then COVID hit and you could probably figure out what happened and she ended up having to file bankruptcy. So she had multiple passive income streams from short-term rentals, but they weren't diverse where, you know, just from notes and land flipping and, you know, informational, I mean, right there is definitely diverse. And, you know, maybe if hopefully not, but if another COVID pandemic hits us, like, okay, our short-term rentals aren't doing as good, but hey, we still got the land flipping. We still got the mining. We still got the note fund. You know, that's kind of the name of the game where you have multiple income streams to pick up the slack, so to speak. So with that, and, you know, kind of getting into, you know, the wealth without Wall Street, what you and Russ do, maybe just as a high level, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, what has been your experience with infinite banking? How has it worked for you personally? Maybe I'll ask. And is it a big scam that Dave Ramsey says that no one should ever get a whole life policy?
Well, I tell you what, the reason why Dave Ramsey does not like infinite banking is because he thinks differently. Like his education that he provides to others, number one, does not match his own wealth journey.
Okay.
Which is, to me, that's the problem. He is teaching people to go down a path that he did not do himself. Mm-hmm. How did Dave Ramsey make his wealth?
Eating rice and beans, right?
No. How is he wealthy today?
Business ownerships and
business ownership and having influence and creating courses and building a brand and all these things. And what does he tell you to do? Invest in growth stock mutual funds?
Mm-hmm.
Show me the person that is financially free before they're 65,
yeah,
that is investing in growth stock mutual funds. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger part, John, is that fundamentally, we believe, and we see this in our community all the time, people are meant to be financially free today,
mm-hmm,
right? So why would I ever invest in my 401k if I'm in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and I want to be free immediately? Like, John, you're in the middle of that soul-crushing job.
Yep.
And someone says, you know what, John, just stick it out for the next 25 years.
Yep.
That's what you think is your only option.
Yep.
Are you really motivated?
Mm-hmm.
No, you want to get out of there today. Like, you're in the middle of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And go to Dave Ramsey and ask him what to do.
Yep.
He's not going to have a solution that except for go find another job.
Yep.
Our solution is you can be financially free if you just redirect the things that you're already doing,
mm-hmm,
to align with your goals. And what I mean by this is, like, I don't get into fights with people about the return on investment in my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, Joey, don't you think it makes sense for me to invest in my 401k? It's free money. I'd be like, whoa. First of all, it's not free money.
Right.
Second of all, how much of that money are you going to be able to use to get out of jail? You just told me you're in financial prison at your work. How much of that money can you use to be free today?
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Yep.
So your rate of return could be 1,000,000%. And it still doesn't help you out of your pain.
Yep.
So why would I be putting more money into something that creates more, like, requirement for me to be in pain?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to redirect my contributions from something like that. I have no access, no control, and really only a hope strategy behind. I'm going to put it in a place that I can access, that then I can tell it what to do. And here's the mindset shift. John, you start your job, and this is an untold thing that happens in our world. It's John, you're not smart enough to invest on yourself. So you need by yourself, you need to put it into this other account over here and let us do it for you.
Yep.
If you believe that, then the idea of putting money into your control is scary. But if you believe that you put money into your control and you start seeing opportunities all over the place, now you start having that money act on your behalf and creating passive income today, that's no longer a hope strategy, right? John, you started seeing money coming in from rental real estate. That wasn't like, well, man, I hope it comes in tomorrow. I hope it comes in next month. Right. And I hope maybe when I'm 65, it's there. You saw real dollars come into your account. So how much more confidence do you have to leave a soul crushing job with that coming in versus, well, I've got a bunch of money in my 401k. I hope it works out.
I don't
mean to beat up on Dave Ramsey. I'm just saying, I would tell you that fundamentally, I am in the business of creating freedom today, because my daughter sitting in the back seat as I'm driving her to school is only going to be that age right now. She's only going to want to hang out with dad right now. When I'm 65, I might have a chance to hang out with her kids. And that's, I've missed the opportunity to come pick her up from school and to spend time with her and to invest in and have an impact in her life. And I'm just, there's, you're not going to pay me enough to keep me from those things today. And I think people have to get to that realization that they do have an option. There is a process that they can follow to get for financial freedom. And they can't think like everybody else. They can't buy into retirement. Retirement is a scam. And that's why Dave Ramsey is misleading people, is because retirement is the scam. Financial freedom is the real deal. And that's what you have to be about doing.
Agreed. And you had really hit the nail right on the head too. And, you know, I had my awakening moment, if you will, it was November of 2014. I actually remember I was sitting on the couch with my laptop and just, I don't know, out of the blue popped in my head, gosh, I'm 31 years old. If I were to essentially relive my entire life, you know, rewind all 31 years, working 40, 50, 60 hours a week like I was doing, I still wouldn't be at the arbitrary retirement date that everyone says, you know, 65, because that's supposedly when we're supposed to retire for whatever reason. And then I kind of was thinking, well, what if I don't make it to 65? My, you know, self personally, a lot of people know my backstory. Both my parents passed away in their 50s from cancer by the time I was 16. So then I was kind of looking at it, it's like, well, one, I'm going to be stressing myself, putting money away in jail, like you said, for decades that I don't have access to. And not only am I hoping that it's going to make those fantastic returns, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm hoping I'm going to make it to that age. And yes, statistically, I will live to be a old, you know, old man with a walker and white hair. But, you know, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. I've known people pass away in their 20s. I had a classmate that passed away at age 14. I just, an individual here was on the board with them for the Public Housing Commission. He retired last year and passed away peacefully in his sleep this year. So it's like you work your whole life to get to 65 to retire for what, 3 months? I mean, it's just, you know, we have it so much banked of, oh, I'll do this later. Oh, I'll do this later. Well, we don't have a guarantee of later. And, you know, kind of back to having those passive income streams, that gets you money now. Having a infinite banking system or setting up, you know, your own bank lets you have access to money now and use as you wish, not to put it in a, you know, mattress and hopefully it's there while a wealth manager is splicing off 1-3% expense ratio every single year. And yeah, I'm sure we could definitely go down the rabbit hole of actual returns versus average returns and, You know, I think a Department of Labor statistics at a 1% expense ratio and a average, you know, mutual fund that Dave talks about, you know, that could wipe out 50% of your gains by the time you're 65. But, you know, for some strange reason, he never goes into that.
Yeah. Well, and you made a great point that, you know, when I'm 65, I have the likelihood of being old and gray and with a walker. How much of life are you living?
Yeah.
At that stage?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's not plenty of things you can be useful for and you can, you know, provide value to the world at that age. In fact, I feel like you have a ton to give, but if you're deferring life,
yep,
and the freedom that you could be having until that point, your health is not guaranteed to be there. And so how much of that time that you now have an abundance of,
yep,
will you be maximizing or using in a way that you really wanted to use? Mm-hmm. And the answer is you've missed it.
Yep.
That's the scam of retirement, in my opinion. And we had a client one time we interviewed, and he said, this is what I love about infinite banking. He said, I was putting money in like equity in my house.
Yep.
And I one day got the bank told me, nope, you can't have access to it.
Yep.
And he said, that's when it clicked for me why I needed to be doing infinite banking, because I could put money into to my control. And he said, and then once it was there, it was begging me to tell it what to do. Mm-hmm. That money's sitting there and it's saying, hey, I'm here, I'm available. What do you want me to go to work for today?
Yeah.
And what it does is it takes you as the investor and it makes your education super important.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're no longer in this default mechanism that happens with 401ks where you just put money in blindly, you don't manage it, you don't educate yourself on what it could be doing because it's just like out of your hands.
Yep.
But when it's in your hands, when it's in your control, you have to be educated. And so it's a passive income that came from a lot of active education.
Yep.
Right. I mean, you don't just go buy a house with Spartan without understanding how to read the performer on that and how to look up the area that it's in and the demographics and make an informed decision.
Exactly.
But that's because you have the ability to make that investment. So now you have to be educated on whether it's good or bad. So anyway, I could probably talk all day about this stuff, but
I'm totally there with you. I think Robert Kiyosaki said, there's no bad investments. There's only bad investors. I mean, you can pick any investment like, oh, the stock market's a scam. You know, no, you can't make money in the stock market. It's like, well, Warren Buffett seems to have done a pretty good job of that. So I don't know if I'd call that a scam. And, you know, whether it's land flipping, whether it's rentals or, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm sure you can find a case study of, oh, Joey was, you know, just killed it in cryptocurrency mining, where Matt over here, you know, he filed for bankruptcy. He did a horrible job at it. And it was the same situation. It was still cryptocurrency mining. But, you know, the investor, I think, makes a lot of the biggest difference. And that comes from education, which, unfortunately, our K through 12 and even our higher education, you know, don't really touch on that. It's, hey, let's learn how to dissect a frog and the Pythagorean theorem. And we don't need to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Let's read Catcher in the Rye or Pride and Prejudice. But again, I could go down that rabbit hole until Sunday on that one. So Joey, as we're maybe getting close to wrapping this up here, you know, talking about the infinite banking and, you know, maybe someone is hearing this for the first time of, you know, gosh, I've had this 401k at work and yeah, it's on paper done really well, but I can't access it. I don't have access to those funds. You know, what would be the next step of reaching out to you and Russ, and what would Wealth Without Wall Street be able to help them setting up these policies and setting up their own banking system?
Yeah. So a couple things. Number one, we believe that there is a three-step process to financial freedom.
Okay.
It's our GPS process. So if you put in a destination of financial freedom, there's the goal, the plan, and the support that it takes to get there. The goal is the very first step with us. And that's what I want to invite people to do is go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/passport. And that's where we really help you to dream about what financial freedom would look like for you and your loved ones, right? who do I want to be? What do I want to do or stop doing? And what do I want to have? Like, how will I know I've arrived at my destination of financial freedom if I don't have a vision of what that looks like? And it sounds super simple, but if I ask you right now, what does financial freedom mean to you and how does it look? You would be shocked, John, how little people have even thought about this, because I don't believe they've given themselves the license to dream because they just shut it off in their mind. They've just put up with life and they've put up with their job and their boss and whoever else that they don't enjoy working with, but they just think it's a necessity.
Yeah.
And so they don't even turn on that switch of, man, I could be somewhere else doing something else with people that I really want to be with. Great. And so we built this course. It's free.
Okay.
You go into our community for free and you get access to this this course for free. And it helps you come out with a literal visual of what financial freedom would look like for you. If at that point you say, man, this is something I want to implement, I want to take the next steps. We have all sorts of options, other courses you can buy, or you can work with one of our coaches directly to set up the infinite banking policy system and then go into from there our group coaching and or other passive income stream opportunities that are available. So love to help you take the next right step towards your financial freedom goals.
Well said. And yeah, you did a great job, and I'll put all this in the show notes too. You had done some great visual examples of your courses, you know, was at Spartan Summit in Birmingham. And, you know, I think, you know, financial freedom is different for everyone. I know some people like financial freedom is, you know, living in a cabin in the middle of nowhere and just living a simple lifestyle. And the next person's like, you know, like me, I want to travel the world. I want to see, you know, go in every continent with, well, maybe the exception of Antarctica, but, you know, travel the world and spend more time with my son, you know, is turning 6 months next week. And, you know, myself, I want to be around him and I don't want to be in those positions where, you know, I have to go to work. I can't, you know, go to your ball game or whatever the case may be. And I think, you know, having control of your money, having a clear vision of what you want and having multiple streams of passive income, that's going to get you there a lot faster than a fat 401k or a fat IRA any day.
All day, every time.
So, all right. Well, thank you again, Joey. I've really enjoyed our discussion. I'll have all the contact information in the show notes, and I'd like to probably have you as well as Russ with the Wealth from Wall Street on the show at a later time.
All right, John, thanks for having me.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.